Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Friday, November 23rd, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Jonathan Kreis Tompkins appears to have won the seat in the Alaska House of Representatives. The Sitka Democrat remained ahead of Haynes Republican incumbent Representative Bill Thomas after the final absentee ballots were counted Wednesday. But a recount is still possible. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
The new totals were released shortly after 11:30 a.m. Jonathan Kreis Tompkins has 4,123 votes, and Bill Thomas has 4,091. That puts Kreis Tompkins ahead by 32 votes, or 0.38%.
It's like I've just been hired for a job, essentially, by 17,000 people. And it's like the acceptance letter has been strung out one sentence at a time, or the offer has been strung out one sentence at a time. So it's been a series of false summits and anticlimaxes and climaxes within the anticlimaxes, and a lot of sort of emotional, I don't know. There is no sort of moment. And this isn't even the moment.
The election is within the margin for a recount. Division of Elections Director Gail Fanoumiai says Thomas has 5 days to request one after the race is certified. That is expected to happen on Friday. Performing the recount would take about a day. And even though the two candidates are only 32 votes apart, Kreis Tompkins says he feels confident in his margin.
At this point, I'm looking to hire staff. I'm looking to move into an office in Juneau. I'm starting to learn the nitty-gritty procedure of the legislature. I'm approaching the next 2 months as a legislator-elect.
Thomas would not say Wednesday whether he'd request a recount, but in an interview with KHNS in Haynes, he called Kreis Tompkins a name we can't repeat on the radio and didn't hesitate to make his feelings about the election known.
The district just, you know, committed Harry Carey, you know, and they just didn't realize what they had as far as seniority and leadership position.
Thomas was co-chair of the House Finance Committee, a fact he emphasized during the campaign. With the race too close to call in the days immediately after the election, House Republicans chose a new chairman but offered to save Thomas a seat. After Wednesday's final tally, he said he was disappointed in the tone of the campaign.
Very negative. This was the most negative campaign I've ever run into.
Kreis Tompkins went on the offensive early in the campaign, attacking Thomas's votes in favor of tax incentives for oil companies. Thomas said he voted on the measure to advance it toward a compromise, not because it had his outright support. Thomas says he'll look to do some lobbying for the commercial fishing industry, but does not plan to run for the legislature again.
This is it. Why should I run again? I think the district wanted a change. They got it, and I'm not going to run back. I've lost all my positioning for finance, the co-chair, the speaker, you know. They wanted, I'm not going to do it again.
The district includes the candidates' hometowns of Sitka and Haynes, as well as Metlakatla, Craig, Hoona, Angoon, Cake, Klukwan, Port Alexander, Pelican, Elfin Cove, Kluwak, Kasan, and Heidelberg. With reporting from Margaret Friedenauer at KHNS in Haynes, this is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
The opening of a new multi-million-dollar baseball field in Sitka earlier this fall is polarizing the community in an unexpected way. Can or should it be used for softball, too? Gender equity in public education, including activities like sports, is governed by a federal statute known as Title IX. About 50 parents, coaches, and students met informally with the Sitka School Board Tuesday night to share their opinions and passions about whether the new field has put the school district on the wrong side of Title IX. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
We haven't had much snow to speak of in Sitka yet this winter, or even any deep cold, so baseball players have been getting in a little extra practice time at night. At $2.6 million with new synthetic turf and lights, Moeller Field is the brightest thing on the Sitka waterfront. Someone landing at the Sitka airport recently said it was like flying into Boston and looking down at Fenway. But the very fact that the high school baseball team can practice at night or practice any time the ground is clear is at the heart of a controversy that's been simmering since even before the ribbon was cut on this field on Alaska Day. The girls' softball team lacks this same opportunity. Softball coach Bob Petruski says this is inequitable.
After being around the new Moeller for just a short period, the superiority is quite obvious from an operational point of view. On March 1, the boys could conceivably be outside practicing real skills in the appropriate setting, provided that it is not covered with snow. Kim Sham will be a muddy mess on March 1st at the very best, and for quite some time after that.
Petruski says the not-so-subtle message to girls in the high school is that they are not as valued as the boys, and that's why the administration is treading carefully with Title IX. Baseball coach Ed Conway doesn't see it that way at all.
This whole issue, it's kind of petty, where we've got one team saying, hey, your new field is better than my new field, so we want your new field. I mean, that's the way I'm looking at this. And then we get Title IX thrown at us to be displaced off of our field and get the girls on our field.
Displacing the boys is at the heart of the argument for most parents who spoke on behalf of the baseball team during the two-hour work session. In establishing equity, Title IX should not disadvantage one gender to create opportunity for the other. However, Sitka Superintendent Steve Bradshaw sought a legal opinion and subsequently directed that the girls' and boys' teams split the use of the field, both practice time and games. He doesn't think Title IX is as nuanced as the baseball team advocates believe. He suggested that the argument fell apart if you looked at another sport that shares a facility like basketball.
I have no other alternative here than to request equal practice time and equal playing time on that field. I honestly believe that. But if I told the girls they couldn't practice in the high school gym, they'd have to come over to the Keat gym, I'd be in a lawsuit.
Notice that Bradshaw used the word request. He's trying to create the equal opportunity required by Title IX. The school district doesn't actually own Moeller Field, nor does it own the relatively new Kim Sham complex where the girls play. Both are city-owned. The $2.6 million reconstruction of Moeller Field was funded by a state capital grant, so even the taxpayer has a stake in the issue. And there are some other wrinkles. Softball and baseball fields are set up differently. A baseball pitcher stands on a mound farther from home plate than a softball pitcher who doesn't use a mound. And the distances between the bases are different. One idea that was not disputed at this work session was that, though possible, reconfiguring Moeller from baseball to softball and back is no small matter. Given the amount of strong feelings, tensions were escalating in the room. No one seemed ready to give an inch, and that's when the hammer dropped. That school board president, Lon Garrison, he reminded the participants to be civil and that they were there to break an impasse, not create one.
I'm afraid of somebody filing a Title IX complaint, okay, and then all of the unintended consequences that will come of that, because that's not what this community is about, never has been. So we can't afford to screw this up.
Garrison said he was interested in sitting down with the affected parties and giving it another shot. He suggested that they settle on a short-term solution with an eye to fixing the problem in the long term. Alaska School Activities Association Director Gary Matthews, who attended the work session as a consultant, agreed. He said the Federal Office of Civil Rights considered a school's efforts to address inequities when it examined Title IX complaints. He suggested that Sitka push ahead constructively.
To me, the obvious solution is you need to get the girls' field into a better state. I mean, I saw both fields. And at one time, the girls' field was better. If it was better than the boys, then you've already shown a history of improving things for the underrepresented sex.
A future meeting was planned, but not yet scheduled. One baseball parent, after the work session, seemed glad for the chance to express her views, but she cautioned that Title IX is bigger than all of us. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
A plan aimed at establishing a hatchery king salmon return to Frederick Sound near Petersburg is gathering local support. Proponents gave presentations during Monday's city council meeting and Saturday's meeting of the Petersburg Fishing Game Advisory Committee. Matt Lichtenstein reports.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game Sportfish Division is proposing to rear about 100,000 hatchery smolt in a temporary saltwater net pen and then release them into Frederick Sound near the mouth of City Creek just east of Petersburg. The fish would come from Crystal Lake Hatchery, which is at Blind Slough by the Wrangell Narrows south of town. Chinook returns to the hatchery have been weak for several years, and that's meant less fishing opportunity. By rearing some of the smolt in a temporary net pen for a month each spring, the department hopes to help them grow bigger before they're released into the wild. Ideally, that would improve ocean survival and lead to bigger returns. During a meeting of the city council, sport fish biologist Doug Fleming said the method had worked before in Southeast.
Saltwater net penning for a 4 to 6 week period generally improves the spring growth, the saltwater readiness, and the potential to would potentially reduce predation following release of the very small king salmon and blind sloop.
However, Fleming cautioned that net penning did not always work, so he said there were no promises this would result in tons more king salmon in the area. The idea, according to Fleming, is to evaluate the site and see if the potential for success is there.
Some of the outcomes, successes that we would hope for with a project like this, which is a small-scale project, would be to increase the immediate area sport fishing opportunity right around Petersburg. As we all know, we're 3 miles from the mouth of the Narrows, and that would be pretty nice for people here. It's a lot, you know, if people want to go out in the evenings and fish, it's not economically a steep gas bill to go out by Frederick Point and fish.
If the program works out, Fleming said it might increase the number of king salmon in everyone's catches. Petersburg Vessel Owners Association Executive Director Brian Lynch said his commercial fishing group supported the project, as well as the recent installation of a heat exchanger to improve water conditions at the hatchery itself.
I think those are both really good projects to increase our own size and provide more chinook for not just sport fisheries, but for troll, gillnet, and even, you know, some possible seine fisheries that they might get into. So I think it has a great deal of potential for increasing catches in these fisheries.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Today in Sitka, expect to be windy and rainy, highs around 43, with east wind 25 miles per hour, increasing to the southeast 35 miles per hour, with gusts to around 50 miles per hour in the afternoon. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.